Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, August 16th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Screen time gets a bad rap, but if you want to cut back on your device use, understanding what counts as screen time and what doesn't is a good start. We'll explain. And then, Elon Musk's artificial intelligence company XAI is just over a year old, and as the startup tries to take on competitors like OpenAI and Google DeepMind, it's relying on resources from Musk's other companies. Our reporter Megan Bobrowski will join us to explain what's being shared and why that's not sitting well with some Tesla investors. But first, on average, Gen Z users spend 7 hours a day on their phones, according to a 2023 report from DCDX Data. And as excessive screen time comes under scrutiny for its impact on things like mental health, many of us are looking for ways to cut back. But not all screen time is bad. Here to tell us more is Cordelia James from our personal tech team. So, Cordelia, what is good screen time versus bad screen time?
The difference between good screen time and bad screen time depends on how long you're being sucked into a certain app. Oftentimes, researchers attribute that to social media, which with certain algorithms and the way that the apps are set up, they're built to keep you on for as long as possible, sometimes hours at a time. Good screen time is that time that you're spending maybe like pulling out your phone every once in a while, whether you're maybe texting a friend real quick, maybe having a nice chat with your mom for like a little bit, catching up. It just depends on, is the time that you're spending on your phone taking you out of being present in the real world?
So for the purposes of this chat, we're going to focus on Apple products, but there are ways to check screen time if you use Androids or other devices. So, Cordelia, how do we see our iPhone screen time and sync it with all our other devices?
Yeah, so you can check this by going into your device's settings. This works on whether it's an iPhone, an iPad, or a Mac. You open settings, click on, there's a screen time button that appears, you don't even have to go too deep into it, and then you just want to turn it on. And so from there, then you can decide if you want to view your total screen time across all of your devices or just one at a time. Though keep in mind, if you do put on all of your devices, then those numbers might be a lot, which is the hard, hard truth of how much time we spend on our devices.
Okay, so what exactly counts then as screen time?
So Apple considers anything that you do when your screen is on as counting towards your daily or your total screen time count. So there are certain things that you might do that don't fall under that. Like, let's say that you're listening to a podcast or an audiobook that lasts 2 hours. Your phone is likely not going to stay on the whole time because that kind of entertainment is going on in the background, not the foreground.
And Apple, you know, it gives you these categories of the kinds of screen time you've been using. Is there a reason that the total time and the categories don't always add up?
Yeah, so there's a few different reasons for that. When Apple breaks down the different apps, it's breaking it down based on how much time you spent with those apps being open in the foreground. So let's say that you're multitasking. You have like a video, like picture in picture up. You're watching something while you're like shopping online in Safari or something. When you look at the amount of time that you spent on each of those apps, it's going to say like an hour that you spent using Safari as well as an hour that you spent watching that video. But when you look at your entire daily screen time, it's only going to count that as 1 hour because your screen was just on once while you were doing both of those different activities. Some other things that I noticed that didn't necessarily appear in the app breakdowns but still counts towards your daily screen time, FaceTime calls and other calls. If you're like an audio-only call, chances are your screen is going to time out and then your screen is not on. That amount of time will not be included in your daily total. But if you are on, let's say, like FaceTime, where the purpose is that you're looking at your screen, talking to a friend, then yes, that is going to include in your daily total.
All right, that was Cordelia James from our personal tech team. Coming up, Elon Musk is using his business empire to jumpstart his AI startup. Some Tesla shareholders want him to stop. We'll explain why after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Elon Musk has quite a few companies. SpaceX, the rocket startup, Neuralink, the brain implant chip firm, Tunnelmaker Boring Company, the social media platform X, and of course, electric vehicle maker Tesla. And to help develop another one of his companies, the artificial intelligence startup XAI, he's relying on resources from his other businesses. That has some Tesla investors concerned. Here to tell us more is our reporter, Megan Bobrowski. So Megan, what specific resources from Musk's other companies have been moving to XAI?
So there's a few different ones. From Tesla, there have been nearly a dozen employees, former employees of Tesla, who are now at XAI. Tesla has its own AI ambitions, and so that is slightly concerning to investors. There's also data. XAI is using data from its sister company, X, and is also leasing GPUs from them, and so hardware as well.
Who's raising concerns about this shift in resources, and what do they claim the impact is?
Tesla shareholders are the ones who are raising concerns. There have been three separate lawsuits, all aimed at Elon's efforts to take his AI ambitions elsewhere. And they're basically saying that he's violating his fiduciary duties, that he has an obligation to Tesla, and that he's violating those by moving those resources from Tesla to XAI and pointedly from a public company to a private company. That is really what's a key issue here.
Where do things stand with those cases?
So all three are pending in the Delaware Chancery Court, which is the same court that ruled against Elon and Tesla in the pay package trial earlier this year. But that court has also ruled in favor of Elon in the past. So it's not a foregone conclusion which way it's going to go, but that court has certainly dealt with these sort of conflicts of interest in regards to Elon in the past.
And have Musk or Tesla said anything about these lawsuits?
They have not said anything specifically about the lawsuits, but generally Elon has said that resource sharing between his companies is a good thing and that in order to retain talent and keep talent from going to competitors, he had to hire people at XAI, people who wanted to work on artificial general intelligence as opposed to full self-driving at Tesla or something else. And so that's what he says about why people are moving around.
Have we seen Musk share resources among his other companies before?
Yes. So there's a prominent example comes to mind. During the Twitter acquisition back in 2022, Elon brought in employees from across all his other companies to help with the acquisition, including Tesla. And this actually came up during the pay package trial, this decision to bring Tesla engineers in to help with the Twitter acquisition. And what Elon said at the time was these people volunteered their time. They still had work to do at Tesla, but this was voluntarily on an after-hours basis. Later on in the trial, a Tesla board member said that those employees were compensated financially for the work they did. That was the board's way of saying there's resource sharing happening here, but it's above board.
Okay, so Musk has done this before, but how typical is it for businesses generally to share resources like this?
I would say this is a pretty unusual situation. It's interesting because most other examples that come to mind, for instance, think about Google or Alphabet. Okay, so Alphabet has an ads business, a search business. They also have YouTube. They have a social media company. They also have Waymo, a self-driving car company. And so if you're doing all of this under one parent company, that's a totally different situation here. The issue is these are all different companies with different investors. that's where you start to run into issues. And also the fact that Tesla is public and he does not own a majority stake in Tesla, and he might own a majority stake in these private companies, but the fact that he doesn't own a majority stake in Tesla is what also makes this sort of problematic in some ways. And so that means he has to get approval from his board to do these sorts of things.
So sharing resources between companies isn't illegal on its own, but what's the potential issue here?
So say, for instance, in the case of Tesla engineers helping out with the Twitter acquisition, that was legally okay because Twitter paid Tesla for their time and their use. And so it's not illegal on its own to be sharing resources. What's illegal is when one company is being helped to the detriment of another company. So both companies are not having a mutually beneficial outcome here. And that is what Tesla shareholders who are suing Elon are claiming, is that Tesla is not benefiting here. XAI is benefiting, but Tesla is not. And Elon's response is that, no, Tesla is benefiting as well. We have yet to see what he has in store. And so this will certainly be an interesting story to follow. What is the benefit that Tesla's going to get? And are shareholders going to say, yes, that's a good enough benefit?
All right, that was our reporter, Megan Bobrowski. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Dinsley are the deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.